Today we have an interesting parable in Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost coin. Remember, the Lord is talking here to the Pharisees and to those who are around him, and he's being criticized because he's having contact with these who they say are sinners. The Pharisees and scribes were grumbling, and they were saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So the Lord Jesus tells three parables here about things that are lost. And we looked at the parable that deals with the lost sheep, and here the helplessness of the sheep is certainly emphasized, the tendency to go astray. The shepherd is concerned. He goes after the sheep until he finds it and brings it home. Now in verse 8, "Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost.' In the same way," Jesus says, "I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." A lost coin. Here, the picture is that of a woman who has these 10 coins. And these coins probably represent all of her savings, and they didn't have banks on the corner to which we could go and deposit our savings. They often would just hide them away, keep them at home. Here she has this coin, which she discovers missing. She has 10, but as she is counting them over one day, she discovers one of my coins is missing. And she's very disturbed. She's concerned because it's worth a great deal to her. And she searches. She sweeps the house. She gets a lamp. She looks. And she is searching everywhere. Finally, she finds this one coin that was lost. And there's such joy. She's so happy. Now she has this coin, which she had lost. Now she has it once again in her possession. And she calls her neighbors in. They'd heard about her losing the coin, and they were concerned. She calls them, and she says, "Look, I found that coin I lost. That silver coin that I lost, I found it. Now I've got all 10 coins again." And everyone's happy. She's found that coin which she lost. The Lord says this is a picture, of course, of the sinner who is lost and is found, and of the joy that accompanies the finding of a sinner. He was criticized for being with sinners. He was criticized for associating with sinners. He says, "Well, that's the whole purpose of my coming." And he wants them to see the tremendous value these sinners have in the eyes of God, and that there's great joy when one repents and comes to him. Now, I think we can use this perhaps somewhat as an allegory. One of the things that we could say about this is that the woman in this case may represent the work of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit works searching for the sinner and is convicting and seeking to bring men and women to God. If you have Christ pictured in the first parable as the good shepherd who goes after the sheep, which is certainly a true figure, this possibly, at least, may refer to the Holy Spirit in his activity in the church, through the church, searching for sinners. The lamp. Of course, it's the Word of God that exposes the lost, isn't it? "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." And God's Word, as it begins to shine upon the life, reveals the lost person, even as that lamp, as the woman carried it and was using it to shine into the dark places of her house. It was the shining of that lamp that revealed the lost coin. And so it is with the Word of God. The Word of God has a searching, a revealing character. And the Scripture says, for example, in Hebrews 4, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's living, it's powerful. It's discerning. It cuts deep. It reveals. And so here the lamp, the Word of God. if you want to know God, if you're concerned at all, let me encourage you to spend time with the Word of God. God's Word will reveal where you are. It may be that you're not even sure of your relationship with God. Maybe you have to say, well, I'm not sure if I'm a Christian or not. I went to church. I've gone all my life. I've been baptized, but I don't know. Nothing seems to be very real in my life. Let me encourage you, if you would start to read the Word of God, God's Word will reveal to you where you are. And if you are lost, the Word of God will make that very plain. I've known people to be saved, to come to know the Lord Jesus in a vital, living way, with no external help at all, simply with the Bible in their hands, and through the Bible, coming to know God. Let me encourage you, if you mean business with God, if you have any spiritual concern at all, and you're wondering about how you stand with God, let me encourage you to read the Word of God. You say, where should I read? Read the Gospel of John, if you've never read that. If you're not sure who Jesus is, whether he's the Son of God or not, read the Gospel of John. It will tell you about him. It will tell you how to be saved. Read the book of Romans, especially the first four, five, six chapters. Read those chapters over and over. If you're wondering how does a person get saved, the book of Romans will make this very plain to you. But the Word of God is so vital here in bringing a person to the Lord. John Bunyan, as he writes Pilgrim's Progress, tells about this man who lives in the City of Destruction, and he's the man who later becomes Christian. As he lives in this city, he begins to read the Bible, and as he reads the Bible, he becomes upset about his sin. He becomes very disturbed about his sin. He reads that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He reads of the fact that the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. The more he reads, the more a burden grows on his back, a sense of guilt, a sense of his lostness. Others may live in the same city and have no problems. They don't feel particularly disturbed. His own wife doesn't feel disturbed. She scoffs at him. She says, there's nothing wrong with you. Maybe you just need a good night's sleep. But he, as he reads the Bible, becomes increasingly distressed about his sin and about his relationship with God. And then he meets evangelist. You remember the story? An evangelist points him to the little wicket gate, and he goes through the gate, and he comes to the cross, and there his burden rolls away. And he's a child of God on his way to the celestial city. The Word of God, so basic and so vital if you would come to know God. As Bunyan pictures the pilgrim on his way, he comes to a house, the house of interpreter, a picture of the Holy Spirit, and he's shown different rooms in that house. One of the rooms he goes into, he sees a man who comes in with a broom, and he starts sweeping quite furiously and energetically, and it's a dusty room, very dirty room, and the dust is, just raised, and it's just full of, the air is full of dust and dirt, and Pilgrim begins coughing and covering his mouth and all the rest. Then he sees a woman who comes in, and she carries some water in a bucket. She scatters the water about through the room. It settles the dust, and then it's swept up. She sprinkles some water. And Pilgrim asks the interpreter, he says, what's this mean? What's the meaning of this room where this man is sweeping and it's the dust gets stirred up? Well, interpreter says, that man is a picture of the law with the broom. And God's law, as it comes into the life, really stirs up the sin in your life. Things you weren't aware of before become a real problem for you. And these are things then that are stirred up that were maybe sort of lying dormant. You were quite comfortable with your sin. But God's law, as you read it, as it comes to bear on your life, will really convict you of sin and make you miserable. And then he says, the woman who brings the water in, and who sprinkles it is like the grace of God coming into the life. And here this is sprinkled through your life. Sin is taken care of. The gospel message will bring you peace and rest and clean up your life. The broom, God's law, stirring up sin and making the sinner uncomfortable, making him aware of his need. And we need to hear the law of God for that purpose today. There are a lot of people who are very indifferent to sin. Their consciences are not tender. They're not troubled by sin. They can be quite comfortable with their sin. And they need to hear the law of God and get disturbed and upset and concerned because they're sinners. So the woman then finds the piece of silver that is lost. I think this parable emphasizes the value of the sinner. A coin, a silver coin, something of real value, great value. Not just a little copper coin like a penny, but a silver coin. And the value then that there is of the sinner and the joy over finding a sinner that's lost. First of all, I think we can say this points out to us that we have value and we should value ourselves. We should not belittle ourselves. Paul could say, who loved me, that's Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. And if God values me enough to give Jesus to die for me, then I'm worth something and life is worth living. And if you're discouraged today and despondent and wondering if life is worth it and if you have any value, let me say to you, yes, you are tremendously valuable to God. You are made in the image of God. Now, it would also teach us to value others. And as we think of this, you remember in James, he speaks of the tongue in James 3 and verse 9. He says, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in the likeness of God. Made in the likeness of God. So as I look at other men, I should remember, this person is made in the likeness of God. This person has tremendous value. He carries the image of God. I dare not despise or look down on any. So all human life has value. The handicapped are valuable. All life is valuable. We think of the terrible sin of abortion and how so many little lives before they can really develop and grow and become the persons they should be are stamped out. And yet each life has great value to God. We should long to see people saved if they're so valuable. We should long to see them saved so that all of heaven will rejoice and we will rejoice too over one sinner that repents.